But it's all right. I can deal with it. And we're just so blessed today to have the Covenant Players with us. They've been here a couple of times, maybe a couple times, and that's great. And we're glad that they're here. They've got some exciting things ahead of them, but we're thankful for today. Brother Kurt, Sister Kathy, Sister Laura, Lord bless you.
I'm relinquishing that because it's very hard, of course, to perform with what looks like an ice cream cone in front of your face all the time. So I'll bring this up a little bit, though. I know some of you probably have seen Covenant Players before when we visited previously. Some of you we might be new to, so let me give a little bit of introduction in that regard. Covenant Players is now in its 55th year. So we were started in 1963. The man who founded Covenant Players was a professional playwright. He had a long history working with the American military, but his tasks in the military translated very well over to work in the movie industry in Hollywood. So when he first came back from his service with the State Department, he started writing movies and plays and things of this nature. But he didn't like the way Hollywood was going. So instead, he started writing plays for the church to challenge, to encourage, to strengthen the body of believers. So broke his ties officially with Hollywood in the early 60s and gathered a few out-of-work actors, sent them out on the road doing Christian theater, which was kind of at that time unusual. There were a few groups locally, but he wanted to see something a little bit bigger. And so as we gathered more people, we were able to become an international ministry. I'll introduce the ladies to you a little bit later, and you're going to see how extensive our international flavor truly is. But for now, let me say a few things about what we have to share this morning. We're going to be sharing 5 separate plays for you. So for each of the plays, one of us will come out, move a little bit of furniture, describe the setting, and then, of course, we'll come on and share the play. We've come up with a clever way of letting you know the play is over simply by saying the word curtain. You get to imagine a big curtain to come closed. Feel free to respond as you think the Lord would move in your heart to respond. I love a church like this that celebrates. To have the freedom to laugh, to clap, to cheer, to shout, as we already have been this morning. It's a wonderful thing. Every once in a while, God will say, stop, and want you just to pause for a moment. Maybe listen to that still small voice as something particular is being spoken to you. So if that happens, don't be embarrassed if everyone else around you is clapping and you're not. That's key. Just respond as you feel the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is responding, moving in your heart, all right? We'll say a little bit more about Covenant Players as we go along, share a little bit of scripture in between one of the plays as well. Before we get to the plays, though, I do mention that we do have some resources in the back, as well as some information that you can take with you. You're welcome to take that. You're also welcome to visit our website. Everybody has a website these days, right? I think Toto the dog from the Wizard of Oz probably has a website these days. So visit our website, covenantplayers.org, if you would like further information. But by all means, talk to us after the worship service. We love telling our story. But maybe even more importantly, we love hearing your story. So please share with us. For our first play, this won't be hard to imagine. It's Sunday morning. Now, maybe this part will be. You can imagine that it's, say, closer to 8 o'clock. We find ourselves right now in front of a row of houses, nice lawns, sidewalk moving through here. I'm sure a number of you probably received the daily newspaper, and it's amazing how a delivery person always can find a way to get it underneath your vehicle or on the grass. Or maybe even the bushes, I don't know. never quite where you want it, like towards the front porch. So it's right out here on the sidewalk itself. We come into this set, a short play called 1 in 168.
Neighbor, you don't look dressed for church.
Yeah, you're right. Son of a gun.
Well, fortunately, you got plenty of time. I'll wait for you.
I went to church last week.
The Lord is still the Lord, Kim. All this week, too.
Funny. I gotta water my lawn.
Kim, I promise you, personally, your lawn won't go anywhere. It'll be here after church.
I had other things planned for this afternoon. Important things.
More important than the Lord?
I can worship the Lord here.
How, Kim?
Meditation, you know.
I'm afraid not. Well, tell you what. You come to church with me this morning, and when we return, oh, that important business of yours. Well, sometime next week. You teach me how to worship the Lord through meditation, and I'll join you in that next week.
You're stubborn, you know that?
Yeah, about some things, some important and priority things. I guess so, yes, we are told to be. The New Testament.
Look, the Lord knows who I am.
I am. Interesting you would say just that. I think it is vitally important to acknowledge who the first I am is. Don't you?
Oh, man.
Well, good. Got it straight. Listen, Kim. The Lord supports you every moment, lifts you up, sustains you, is ever ready to come to your aid. He maintains your life. Well, isn't that so?
Well, yeah, but...
Well, standing up for him, being present among his people, his faithful followers, worshiping he who is the first I am, the living God of the ages, isn't that the first priority?
Every week?
Right. Every week. 1 hour. Okay? 1 hour and 168 hours the Lord gives you each week.
Okay. You got through to me. I'll go change. Let us go up to the house of the Lord.
And with gladness, good neighbor, good friend, sister. And I was glad when they said unto me.
Curtain.
To go up to the house of the Lord, should we not? 168 hours each week.
What do we do with them, right?
These days. Yeah. Or games, I don't know. Anyway, for the younger generation, for sure. But I think even as we get older, we find wonderful ways to waste our time, don't we? And we need to give the Lord what he needs. I'm going to grab a chair right here. And right now, we're going to do a play for the children. How many of you are children? Yay! Thank you. The more mature children put their hands up, too. I like that. I'm a child. I am never going to grow up. I'm a child of the Lord. So I get to be a kid for the rest of my life. So anyway, but this is especially for kids. But, you know, sometimes the children's message is the one that the adults are really... getting in their heart, you know. So we'll see how the Lord uses this morning anyway. But we have a series of plays written for some children in a children's clubhouse. You guys ever had a clubhouse or a treehouse? Fortress? Ever built a fortress? No! Any of the more mature kids did that? Treehouse, clubhouse, fortress? Okay, have you guys taken blankets and sheets in the living room and cushions and like built tent city? No? Yes? Maybe? Okay, well, some of the more mature kids probably did that too, right? We knew how to use our imaginations, right? Well, we're going to use your imagination and pretend this is a clubhouse. Hold on one second. I'm going to see if I can get my glasses. My glasses,
Andy?
Not. Okay. That's okay. Thank you. Sorry. Now I can think. Sometimes when I can't see, I don't think so well. There you go. If you wear glasses, you know what I'm talking about, right? You say, wait, hold on, let me get my glasses so I can hear you. Because part of it is the seeing, right? Sorry about that. So I needed my glasses. There you go. Okay. So we're going to go to a children's clubhouse. And this is a place where some kids in the neighborhood, they come and play on the weekends or after school when they've done their homework. And they've had fun painting this place their favorite color. So we're going to have fun. You know, I think the Lord allows us to have a little fun in church, so it's okay. So we're going to paint the clubhouse our favorite color. So Claire, what's your favorite color? Magenta. Ooh, I like that. Magenta. All right, this wall is magenta. I need everybody to remember that. And is it Evan? Am I right, Evan? What's your favorite color? Orange, okay? So we got magenta on that wall. This wall is going to be orange, okay? Who's the youngest member of our children this morning? The more most mature youngest member. Is that brother over here? What's your favorite color, sir?
Oh, blue.
Blue. Okay, who are you pointing to? Oh, you're not the oldest.
I'm just the youngest.
Well, you know, I was playing there. The youngest, oldest, right? Because as we get older, we get younger.
I'm the oldest.
Door orange, okay? Hope everybody's remembering this. Let's go to our gentleman then. What was your color?
Blue.
Blue, okay. And the roof is blue. And I will take one more color. A blue roof, yes. How about, sir, what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
Okay. You can go with blue. You want blue still? All right. And we're going to make the dog in the yard is blue, okay? Just because we're using our imagination, and the Lord has a sense of humor, too. All right, so we're going to go to this playhouse, meet some of the kids, and before I tell you the name of the play, I need you to help me remember the color. So I need everybody to shout out. What color was this wall?
Magenta.
Good job. And this wall?
Orange.
And the door was?
Orange.
And the roof was?
Blue.
And the dog in the yard?
Blue.
100%. You guys listen in church. That's awesome. That's why I do that, just for involvement and get the energy up. Right. We're going to meet some of the kids right now in this playhouse, and this play is called To Each the Choice.
Suffer the little children to come unto me.
Suffer? Letting little kids suffer? That's a bummer.
No, Cleo, I think it means...
Well, that's just downright mean. They should report that to someone, boy.
It means that little children should be allowed to come to Jesus.
Sure, so they can suffer.
No, Cleo, this is Jesus talking. He doesn't want anyone to suffer.
Then why say it?
Well, I guess so that little children should know that they should come to be his followers just like grown-ups.
How is a kid going to be a follower of Jesus?
Well, be kind, share things, don't fight, love your parents, your family, other little kids, read Bible storybooks, pray every day, and try your very best to be like Jesus.
Wow. If I ever were that good, my face would crack!
No, Cleo, I think you'd learn to smile a lot more. and you might even be happy.
Happy? I'm never happy. So tell me, where is this suffer business coming into it, huh?
Oh, Well, I guess it means that any adult grown-ups who try to keep little kids from coming directly to Jesus will probably suffer for it.
Curtis! Coming to accept the Lord was probably one of the most important decisions I ever made in my life, right? And you got to do it for yourself, right? And it's a really big decision, but each one, to each of us, God has given the choice to be his children. So that's an awesome thing that we get to do. Our team, Covenant Players, we work all over the world. We have teams in several different areas. The team that you have today, the unit, Covenant Players, we're the Pacific Gate Unit. What that means is we cover a large territory, Japan, Hawaii, Guam, Alaska, and the west coast of the United States. It's a pretty big territory. We don't have a home. We live on the road, living out of a suitcase. My husband and I have done that for 33 years. We've never had an apartment, never had a house. We are traveling missionaries, kind of like Paul and Barnabas and the disciples. You know, the Lord said, take your two tunics and go and do it, you know? Unfortunately, I have more than two tunics in my suitcase. But anyway, I have to carry them. But God is good, and that's how we serve. We homestay everywhere we go, going and working in a number of different settings: schools, churches, prisons, hospitals, nursing homes, military bases. So in the next couple of months, as we travel, we will be going from here to Hawaii, and also to Japan and Guam. And a lot of our area, this mission is in disaster. We've had huge volcano eruption in Hawaii. We'll be going and ministering to those people in that area that have been displaced from their homes and are suffering in that regard. Also in Japan, they've had terrible floods, and about 4 million people right now have been moved from their homes, about 250 people dead. So we're going to be going and doing some relief work as well as doing the ministry we do. So as you we would ask for your prayers for us as we go and do this ministry that we do. We do perform in Japanese, so you can pray for that we will be able to share the love of God in Japanese. We need those prayers for that, as well as if you've got any questions or you would like to support, or when you make your gift today or however it's being done, that is what that goes to support. So if you would like to be a part of that, do talk to us afterwards, because those are ways that we can reach other people in foreign places, right? We'll tell you more again. I'm going to go ahead and set up for the next play. We have many styles of plays in our ministry, and this particular next play is going to be a one-person play. There will only be one person on stage. How many of you, before being Californian, grew up in the Midwest? Any of you folks grew up in the Midwest? No, you're all Californians? Northern U.S.? Nope, Californians. Right here. Wow. Well, that's awesome. But you know, Campbell is this kind of a town anyway. You're right by the bay, but yet I found out that you're really country. And it's awesome. I love that. So where we're going to take you right now is to a small town, kind of like Campbell, but maybe in the Midwest. The kind of town that if I was standing on the porch right now, which is what I'm doing, I'm standing on the porch, I'd be looking over cornfields. And this is the porch that early in the morning you want to come out when it's fresh, and you bring your cup of coffee, and you can just sit and have some quiet time, some space in the morning. So that's what I'd like you to imagine. We're coming to this porch. We're going to meet a gentleman. Folks around here call him the dumb one.
Well, I'm finished with that important city, man. And
And them fellers from the law office have done with me too. Now let's see. There's the bank folks, I guess. Though I don't quite know why they want to talk to me, but appears like all of a sudden, like everyone in town has something they want to say to me, they figure I'd be a lost without a hearing. Maybe so. Just seems to me like I've been going for quite a few years now without all this special talk and all. Yet I reckon if it makes them feel like they're being helpful, I can take the time to listen to them. I wonder if that's why them lawyer and banker fellers are always a-hurrying so. Running all over the place trying to find folks to help. Maybe that's why they don't seem to have so much hair, too. Always tugging away at it, worrying about folks like me. Oh, shucks. They must have a lot more people to help than me, because this is the first time in my life they ever got around to it. Then there's that important city man. Shucks. I'd have known he was important even without him saying so, but I guess he just wanted to make sure, being careful to inform and all. With my help, he says to me, you can make a lot of money. Oh, I kinda had to laugh. Shucks, I knew what I had was a lot of money. No. I'm talking about a lot of big money. For a moment there, I thought he was talking about the government printing large money pieces. Then it kind of comes to realize that he's talking about big figures and like that. Shucks, I kind of had to laugh again. I mean, I know what I had was a lot of big money. I don't know why he didn't know it, he being an important man and all. I'd have thought he would have known. Well, then he kind of comes around as he appears to agree with me like, and then says, no. With my help, you can make lots more, lots more. Now, why in the world would anyone want more than $100,000? I mean, I could stand there in the middle of Perkins General Store and keep buying things for 10 years straight and not use up a quarter that much money. And you don't have to be smart not to do a dumb thing like that. Well, I guess I wasn't as polite as I thought I was, saying no thank you, sir, and all that. Because he starts storming around and calling me dumb. Dumber than anyone he had ever met. Shucks. He must not spend very much time in these parts, because there's a lot of folk who are dumber than me around here, and local folk will even say that, too. Well, I admit, I am kind of dumb. Been that way all my life. Can't help it. I ain't educated. But I do my best, and I got friends. I like helping them, and they like me helping them, too. I know who I am, who I belong to. There isn't anything greater in all of life than that. Then this $100,000 comes along and near scares me to death. Why do I want that much money? Just trouble, I reckon. Oh, until I suddenly realize I could give it away, quiet-like, and folk wouldn't get upset. Oh, shucks, there just ain't no way of giving away that much money quiet-like. And local folk did get upset, mighty upset. You know, I overheard this one lady say she thought I should be put away. I don't agree with that kind of talk, so I figured I would just go away. And then it hit me. I've been trying to go away for years, and they wouldn't let me. Well, I don't blame them, of course. I mean, I ain't educated, don't even have a high school diploma, but... Yep, I'm about the best dirt farmer in these parts. And people will say that too. Yeah, I can do just about anything with a handful of seeds, some soil, and lots of help. Oh, this is my gift. Everyone has one, of course, but he sees to that. And this is mine, dirt farming. Yeah, I can make just about anything grow. I can teach just about anyone how to do it, too. Taught old Baker how to double his tater crop, and he thought he was the best farmer in the state. So I decided I would go on one of them fraternal missionary things. But they couldn't take me. They explained that they needed someone to be able to write it all up in reports and stuff. I didn't understand why, but they explained they needed someone to be able to write it in a book so they could send that book to Africa and South America and Asia and places like that so the local folk could learn. Shucks, I didn't even know that all those people knew how to read, but they know better than I do. So I stayed here. I was disappointed. I mean, using the gifts that I have, I couldn't think of anything better in life to do than that. Well, I stayed and helped folk out as much as I could. As much as they'd let me, but it just weren't the same. But I kept this, and I think I had hope without even knowing it. It says here, Jim, we need you here in Malawi. You could help these poor people grow the food they need. They've always been hunters and know nothing about farming. If you ever get the chance, please come. That's my good friend, Bill Hart. Missionary. And I'm a-going. Oh, I'm not going to be a missionary. They couldn't take me, those regulations and all. But I'm going on my own. It was that $100,000 that made it all possible. Maybe Uncle Art knew that when he left it to me. Maybe so, but I don't even know that Uncle Art knew that I existed. Oh, maybe he did. But maybe it was even simpler than that, me being kind of dumb and simple and all, I reckon would have to be. Maybe he did it, because I had hope. Oh, shucks. I know that hope's just another word for prayer.
And there ain't anything dumb about that. Nothing dumb at all. Well, see you in Malawi. I think one of our greatest challenges in life is to keep our faith simple. As I mature, I find myself coming back to some very basic things over and over and over again. Like, God is sovereign. And how does that look in my life? Well, it looks an awful lot like trying not to be in control. And trusting that whatever happens yet later today is in his hands already. I can look at that for my ministry. I can look at that for my community. I can look at that for my nation. I can look at that for my world. Okay. If he is sovereign, what's my role to play? A word that we shared last night, right? Submission. If he is sovereign and I submit to that sovereignty, I have no worries. That helps an awful lot. So that's what I think for me when it comes right down to it, the simplicity of a walk of faith. And do I do it every day? No. I have moments, I think, where I do. But by golly, I have to resubmit on myself every single day, reacknowledge his sovereignty over my life, and trust his spirit to guide me. We have one more longer play that we'd like to share. We're still fine with time, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to take you back in time a little bit. Not too far, though. Imagine ourselves in an era when a lot more travel was done on sea than it is in air. So perhaps it could even be the 50s, if you will. Air travel was a little bit exclusive still. So a lot more people would invest the time to travel on board a ship crossing an ocean. So this is a waiting area in one of the ports here in the United States. You can imagine perhaps, if you would want to, an East Coast setting. That might be nice. Imagine the chairs to be wooden benches. And perhaps a few informational signs around here in this waiting area. It's not the main lobby area. Instead, it's perhaps a holding area for people who are in transit or perhaps are needing visas to be dealt with, those kinds of things. You can imagine all the paneling being a darker wood, so it is a bit of a darker setting here. We come into this set of play called The Triumph of Love. Look wonderful. And it's wonderful to have you back again.
You don't look so bad either. Better than sliced bread and a new Buick.
I am flattered. How long do you think we're going to have to wait here?
Oh, it shouldn't be too long. They've made a mistake. They have me returning on the same ship.
What?
Oh, don't be alarmed, Jeff. It's just a mistake in dates and names. There's another woman on the ship named Constable, of all things, and she's supposed to be taking the ship back to Africa. They thought it was me.
Didn't you tell them that you were just coming back to marry the luckiest man in the world?
No, I didn't.
And you should have, because I am.
I might have, but the lucky part was the other way around. Blessed, though, is what I would call it. I don't believe in luck.
And didn't you tell them that you were never going back to that area on any ship?
No, I didn't.
Well, that you should have told them. My mother has some strong ideas of certain things, and this is one of them. Her son's wife is not going back into that strange life, being a missionary.
It's not a strange life, Jeff. It is amazing and thoroughly rich and exciting.
So is wing walking. And I'm not going to let you do that either.
Either?
You know what I mean. Being a missionary is all right. Fine, I guess, for the maiden type. But that's certainly not you. You're going to be Mrs. Jefferson Winterhaven in a very short time.
And I am not going to be doing any more missionary work.
Of course not. Winterhaven Oaks is a very large house, and it's going to require a lot of supervising. Mother has promised us a very large sum as a wedding present, and you can have as many servants as you want.
Which would be zero. I don't want any servants. I don't want someone else to do my work for me. I have no intention of retiring.
But my wife is not going to have to wear herself out and get tired doing housework and things like that.
Jeff, what do you think life on a mission station is like anyway? I think we better talk a little more before any further decisions are made.
Sure, of course, dear. I suppose I'm coming across as making all the decisions, but I want to be as helpful as I can. You'll have your input too, of course.
When I left here a year and a half ago, you were a thoroughly vibrant Christian at that time. Has that
changed? Of course not. I still go to church pretty regularly, almost every Sunday. But I'm no fanatic. Did you think I was?
No, but at that time when I agreed to marry you, you seem perfectly willing for me to commit, to complete my basic commitment.
Of course. I knew how important it was to you. And at that time, there was no surety that Mother would endow us, and now she has. So I had to work hard enough to earn enough for us to live decently.
Decently suggests a way of doing things, not the facts of having things. I don't need things.
Ah, but my sweet... My wife is not going to have to wear herself out like that, doing all of those things.
What do you think life is like there, Jeff?
That's just it. I know it was hard. I know you had to work like a slave. I want to make it up to you, and I will.
Jeff, you're just not hearing me. I want to serve. Really serve.
Yes, but you don't have to do that by tramping through jungles and living amid squalor and all that, that missionary thing.
The mission isn't in a jungle. There isn't one for 500 miles. Some small hills and open plain, but very little that's dangerous.
You can't tell me that there's not wild animals there.
Yes, there's wild animals. But one learns quickly how to handle situations you would find yourself in when they are near.
Dangerous, see?
So are the freeways of the United States.
Yes,
with far less casualties than are ever placed at the feet of animal attacks in Africa.
There's probably millions more cars here than there are animals there.
If the poachers aren't stopped, in a few years you may be right. But not at the moment. But that has... Beside the point, it has nothing to do with the fact that I want to serve others and my Lord.
We'll join a church. You can take on jobs as many as you want, just so long as you have time for golf, exciting travel, just plain fun and special events.
Jeff, you are just not hearing me. I want to serve, really serve, and not in some suburban church where neatness, politeness, and the right clothes are the main targets of the church, where the most serious, where everyone is prim and proper, and the most serious problem is too many tuna fish casseroles at the potluck dinners.
Our dinners aren't potlucks, they're catered. Our people are too busy to cook for such a thing.
And you want me to join such a church?
Well, sure, it would only be natural. I mean, it's where Mother goes, and so it would be the natural thing to do.
No. No, Jeff, that wouldn't work.
Oh, sure it would. We can join some other church. I mean, there's a lot of nice ones in our area, and we can find one of those. Just so long as you have time for fun with your husband. That's going to be me.
I have no objection to having fun. To me, I translate that as doing things together that are meaningful and productive.
You mean work all the time?
No. I like to play tennis and sometimes just run about, explore woods and take hikes, but I also can't live without using my abilities where they are needed among the needy. For his sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ, my Savior.
You know, you're beginning to sound like a fanatic.
I think I am. If you mean someone who puts Christ first in front of everything else, then if that is the definition, then yes, I am a fanatic. And I always shall be.
I can't mean that. I mean, you sound like someone who'd wear a long black dress with a brooch at the neck.
In the ship's lounge, there are women's fashion magazines, and you have just described the latest in fashion for the debutantes of the haute couture. I, however, cannot afford the simple, basic black dress of the exclusive fashion world. And no one, no woman in our area would ever wear a metal brooch. It would burn an indelible mark in one's skin.
This. I mean, you've just come back from Africa to marry me. You can't change now.
We both changed, Jeff. Instead of the vibrant Christian that I thought you were, you've become a Sunday go-to-meeting type, mostly. You speak of a suburban church as being what you want. You talk of wealth and servants and constant fun and games as a cherishable lifestyle. You seem to have dropped out of Christ's orbit. You're all set to live the fun life of Jack Astor, Diamond Jim Brady, and all the other high rollers. That's not for me. I couldn't live that way. And I don't think you could either. Divorce, which I don't believe in, would be in the picture within 3 years at best.
But you love me.
Yes, Jefferson. The strange thing is I do. But it's not enough. Not in the face of everything else. It would only cause high intensity pain and anguish for me, if not for you. I'm not prepared to take a chance, a forlorn chance on it might work. Not with marriage. Not with my life.
It will work. I love you, and I shall strive as hard as I can to be a great husband for you.
You keep missing the right words, Jeff. They are essential at this point, and they are absent from your speech. I'm sorry.
I don't understand this. I mean, what about our letters, our plans, our closeness, our love? What'll I tell Mother?
Tell her the truth. Tell her exactly what I have told you. That I am a forgiven sinner. But because of Jesus and his grace, I have become a forgiven one. And because of that, he has convinced me happily to be a fanatic. Tell her that. It'll be enough. She'll understand. And will promptly seek for you a proper debutante, complete with long black dress, high collar, and choker, if not a brooch.
I don't want that. I want you. I don't want someone else. I won't settle for a substitute.
I won't either, Jefferson. I love you. That's it. I have committed my heart to you. I stick to what I have committed to. And I have committed my heart to you.
Then you do love me.
Yes. I do love you. But I am going back. I am the servant of Christ. That is who I am. It was a mistake to think that I could change that even a little. Compromise. I'm sorry. My fault.
Where are you going?
I'm going back to the mission. I am his servant. That is who I am and who I always shall be.
Then I'm coming after you.
If you do, know that you will be courting a committed missionary.
But you do love me.
Yes. I do love you. But I love Jesus more. Loving the Lord with all of our hearts can be a challenge, right? We have one more play that we'd like to share with you, and before we do that, just want to remind you that we love to talk to you afterwards, shake our hand, hug our neck. We're strange, but we don't want to be strangers. So do talk to us afterwards, and we love to hear what the Lord might have spoken to you today personally. Hope that something has spoken in his way as the Holy Spirit does that. It's been our blessing to be here. Going to take you right now to a simple setting, a park. Maybe on a Saturday, Sunday, actually could be any day of the week. A park bench right here, you can imagine joggers, frisbee throwing to their dogs, everything that goes on in a park. We're going to take you to this setting for a play called The Search.
I won't bite.
Are you hurt?
Yes.
Shall I get a doctor?
He couldn't help me.
What's the matter?
I'm lost.
Where do you live?
Inside.
Inside where?
Me.
Oh.
I'm searching.
I see.
Will you help me?
Well, it's getting pretty late and...
Respectability.
I'm sorry.
Humanity.
But practicality. Some other time.
Do you love me?
What's the matter with you? I don't even know you.
Goodbye.
What are you going to do?
Continue my search.
Your search? What are you searching for?
A Christian.
Curtain.
Thank you so very much for allowing us to share this morning. Let me very quickly introduce the team. On the end is Laura Gosen. And she comes all the way from Paraguay.
She's been speaking English for...
Yeah, she... how many of you speak Spanish? Probably a few. No? She's been speaking English, what, about a year roughly?
2 years, yeah.
2 years?
2 years.
Surprising, right? Next to me is my wife.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next to me, my wife, Kathy Peruker from South Africa. Her accent is much American, but she did just recently visit South Africa. So if you're speaking to her, you might still hear things that pop out with that accent. My name is Kurt Peruker. I'm from New Mexico. Thank you all very much. We always welcome, of course, comments, questions. We would be welcome to pray with you if you have any specific needs. One of the things I often like to do, though, is make sure, since we are guests, we're visitors, and we're only here for that one period of time, it's always, of course, the pastor or the pastoral staff that you want to go to for those deeper prayer concerns. So I really strongly encourage that. But we're going to take some time now and let the altar be open. If anyone has specific prayer needs that they have, please do feel free to join us at the altar. I'm going to go myself because I've got a couple of friends who have specific needs, like a friend named Pam who's got a hip replacement surgery on Tuesday. So we're going to be praying for her as well. But please, thank you.
Praise the Lord. We're going to ask, does anyone like prayer? We'll come and pray for you. Then let's all find a place and make that our altar and call upon the Lord. Amen? Call upon the Lord because He is ready to receive your call. Thank you. you thankful that the Spirit of God can fall fresh on us every day? And He doesn't run out. Praise God. He can minister to us wherever we are. We'll keep you guys in prayer. And pray for us too. We appreciate that. Praise God. Take time to visit the table in the back. Take time for a few minutes of fellowship. It'll be a blessing to you. We appreciate everyone being in the house of God. We're going to pray blessing in just a moment, but we also want to remind the board, you're on, and the rest of you, you're off. But next Sunday, we'll start again at 10:30, and at 5 o'clock, we'll be doing Bible study. We were on Luke chapter 8 for 3 years, I think. But chapter 9, we're moving right along. 17 verses down, I think, approximately, and then starting with the next one. Precious Savior, bless your people. Put your hand upon each and every one of them. You know this week. You know what's ahead of us. Give us strength. I pray, Lord, that you'll let our light shine. I pray, Jesus, that you'll allow us to be a blessing wherever we go, whatever we do. Bless those that are working. Give them strength. Those that are not, give them strength to enjoy this time of rest. I pray your tender power in our lives and bless this church in Jesus' name. Bless the covenant players wherever they go. Your strength and your power be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.